following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's really awesome.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford.
Hey, buddy.
What's up, dude?
How are you, man?
Dude, I'm good, man.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. You're at work today?
I am at work today. I'm a working man.
You know what?
We're getting some business done. We're taking care of business here.
That's right. And let me say happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you so much.
The gift is in the mail.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
Sure.
You don't believe me?
Sure.
No, I don't believe you at all.
Oh, man. Now, after you've been married for a long time,
yeah,
Valentine's Day is still important, but is it about the gift? Is it about a thought? Is it about a service that you provide? Is it about a date? Now, for you, what do you think?
I mean, first of all, is it important, honestly?
Probably not.
Is it? It's like this catch 22, because you shouldn't just treat your wife nice or buy her something one day a year.
Correct.
Right. So
you just can't mess up on it. Like you can't.
Well, you can't.
You can't
well,
be
here's
a...
the thing. I think that we're very aware of how our wives are.
Sure.
And if they need something or they need help, or we buy them things, or we try to do the best we can do. At least we're aware.
Correct.
Right. There's a lot of guys who have no freaking clue.
That's true. And then on that one day, they try to make up for it with a big gesture or something, maybe. Right?
Right. That would be my father-in-law.
A new car!
No, so it's like, you know, because my daughter, she's in school and she, you know, likes this boy. And I said, honey, you gotta let him make the move. If he's going to give you a Valentine, you got to let him give you the Valentine, right?
Right.
And I don't even know how that goes anymore, because I don't know if it's like a text or it's a. Remember the little Valentine cards we would give?
Oh yeah, dude, they were the best. I would do like a superhero ones a lot.
Oh, they okay. That's normal.
You're super. You're my hero.
And then you get those little candies that break your teeth. Those little hearts.
Yeah, they discontinued those. Do you hear those? Hear that?
Well, dentists should give them out as gifts.
Yeah, I know, right? Take this. I'll have to replace your crown later.
So I'm talking to McKenna with my father-in-law, and I said, honey, you just gotta, you know, you gotta wait for him. If he's gonna give you the Valentine, let him give you the Valentine, then you'll kind of know. And
yeah.
And he's like, guys don't think like that. I go, yeah, they do. If they like the woman or the girl, they think about that stuff and they want to do something nice and give them a card or a flower.
Yeah.
They're like, really? Guys think about that stuff? I'm like,
oh, man.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, us, our generation, and hopefully, now this is what I'm worried about for the younger generation. They live their lives through social media, right? They live their life through text. They live their life digitally. So what kind of gestures are they doing for Valentine's Day, or not just for Valentine's Day, but how do they make someone feel special? Because human connection is something that, you know, for the moment seems to be something that's on the back burner because it's about digital connection. Mm-hmm. So that worries me. That worries me a bit.
Well, I don't think they know any different, dude. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. They don't know what it should be like.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's changing. Obviously, everything evolves. But it's like, you know, how about the guy comes to the door and brings flowers?
Well, here's the thing. That's why they should watch General Hospital. They might learn something.
That's right.
Right. We do gestures.
That's right.
Chivalry. Absolutely. Chivalry is not dead.
No,
at least
not
on daytime.
But a lot of people are on the show. Yes.
Chivalry is not dead, and Franco's not either.
Yeah. Still.
Still.
And
neither is Jax. Jax is back. I just read that.
What?
Ingo's coming back.
What?
They announced it on the GH Twitter today.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah, Ingo is coming back.
What?
I know, isn't that crazy? So happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to us.
Is that why he left B&B? Interesting.
Oh, ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, conspiracy theory, Steve. I love conspiracy theory, Steve. That's great.
No, I'm not conspiracy theory guy, dude. Yeah. Because I know there's about 900 about me out there, so I'm not conspiracy theory
there
guy.
You go.
But it's great to have Ingle back, man. If that's the case, I will text him as soon as we're done, and I will say,
you gotta come on our podcast.
Yeah. Welcome home. And have you heard our podcast? It's so awesome. He'll be like, yeah, man, I heard that. What? That was like
that was
southern...
not that was not Australian, bro. But I love the effort. That was something special.
I committed and failed. Dude, I don't know what the hell that was. Holy moly. I told you I can't do accents, dude.
I know, it's great. I love it. I love it every time you try, though. And don't never stop trying. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up.
I will find you.
Speaking of guests, I'm so excited to welcome our guest in. She is someone that has been a part of our lives for a long time, and we love her. We adore her. And
she's amazing, dude. I love this girl. She's such a sweetheart, and I'm so happy she agreed to talk to us.
I know. And evidently she's listened to our show at least once. So thanks. Whoop. Yeah. All right. And here we go. Hey guys, look who we got here. We have Kristen Alderson.
This is amazing. I'm so excited, dude.
That's fantastic. So excited.
Guys, you're my Valentine's today. It's Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's sweet.
Oh my gosh. That is so nice.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. What is anybody have any exciting plans today? Anybody?
Anybody? Any exciting plans? I don't have any plans.
Plans per se.
I'm going to be just like hanging in with the fam today. It's Thursday night. So like,
yeah. What's the status here? We got no ring on the finger.
No ring.
Okay. All right. I just want to figure it out.
There's someone new in the mix, but it's like very new.
And this is not another dog.
This is not another dog.
Okay.
This is a human being.
Hey, that's
and cool. So he's like so new. It's kind of borderline like, oh, are we going to text on Valentine's Day? Like, is that going to be a thing? Sort of. It's like that new.
That's tough. Okay, well, we won't talk about him because we don't want him. We don't want to freak him out.
No.
We're talking about him on a podcast.
Let's not even waste breath on him anymore.
He's out.
He's done.
Awesome.
So, Chris, what is happening? Where are you living? Are you in New York now? Because I know you were in Pennsylvania for a while, right?
I'm in Philly, so I'm
okay,
still
you are
in Philly.
Philly. Right.
Yeah, awesome. I moved home in September, like 3 years ago.
Right.
And I love it. I'm happy, but I'm back and forth to New York all the time.
So you come. Oh, wow.
So I still live at home with my family.
Awesome.
And then it's only like an hour and a half train ride to New York. It's easy to get back and forth.
You know who loves the train? Stevie B. He had never ever been on the train, and we took him.
Look at her face.
In California, people don't take the train.
We don't take trains.
Yeah, yeah. So
when I took a train, it was like they were putting coal in the engine. So this is a different train.
Wow, this is fancy. What kind of train was it? Was it like New Jersey? Crappy New Jersey Transit.
Oh, that's right. New Jersey Transit goes back and forth. No, we took Amtrak, but we took it. We weren't on the Acela or anything, or on or in a sleeper cabin or anything like that. We were just, we were just on the regular old Northeast Corridor train. But he was just astounded, and it was so charming. He was like a little boy, like being like choo 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 choo.
No, I did not make that noise, and don't say I did because that
sounds like something you would do. I don't know. Yeah.
Did you see that? You lost your man card again on that one.
I never had one, dude.
You never had one.
I've been lying this whole time. I was never
That's
issued
so
to me.
That is amazing.
I have a funny story about Amtrak. I only took it once, and it was to Washington, D.C. And I was like, I have to go in the food cart. Like, I've always wanted to see the food cart. And I went, and I got a hot chocolate, which is not smart in a train, and spilled it all over my dress. And I was going to, luckily, the stain came out, but I was like, but that was really smart before I, did a panel in Washington.
Oh, my gosh.
Spilled hot chocolate all over.
I got to say, the cheese plate and the wine, they have a little half bottle of wine that I really recommend. It's actually pretty good. And the cheese plate, because otherwise you're getting a microwaved hamburger, which is a terrible idea.
I'm good for a cheese plate.
Right. Yeah. Cheese plate that has got a little fruit in it. And it's, It's been in a refrigerator. So, yes, it's still perishable, but it's not microwaved meat.
Listen, overall, the experience was amazing. Okay.
Yeah. Good.
The fact that I could go from car to car like I was Liam Neeson in that movie, Commuter.
Were you, like, necessarily leaping?
Oh, yeah. So, but the downside is, Bradford, I don't know if you remember, but we were all sitting in the same row, and you go, okay, we're underground from here on out.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to jump off the train.
Yeah.
Did you panic?
I was just like, what do you mean we're underground? He goes, yeah, you're not going to see daylight again until we get to Astoria. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So it was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So.
No, it is funny. You don't think about that, but, you know, people on the West Coast that don't, you know, there's not as much to have to go under because there's nothing on top. So you might as well just go on.
I always found it weird. Like, I took the subway to Queens, and then at some point, like, the subway comes up and you're not underground anymore. And yeah. I was like, this is so weird to be on a New York City subway and it be above ground. Like,
Yeah. It's super cool. Yeah. I love that, when, because you get the best view of Manhattan coming in from Queens on like the N or the R or the yellow train. And, you know, and it's, you get that, and then you just go whoop down under the, down under the East River. It's fantastic.
That's all the East Coast lingo there. I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Well, speaking of East Coast,
yes.
So you're back where it all started. And so everybody knows that you grew up on a soap, but I don't know anything before that. What age were you when you started, and how did that happen?
Okay. So when I was 5 years old, I was in a dancing class, just like a normal dancing class. My mom's a nurse. My dad's a cop from Philly. No one's ever been in the industry or anything like that.
Yeah.
I was in a dance class. We went on a local show, a variety show, and danced. Like, that was just it. Then they pulled some girls aside and said, "Will you tell us a joke?" And I just so happened to know a joke.
Do you still remember it?
What?
Do you still remember it?
Yeah.
So What was it?
I said, "What time do you go to the dentist?"
2:30.
2:30.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, Steve tells that one on the road all the time.
No, I still tell that joke.
And it kills, probably.
It does.
Oh, yeah. So that was like my joke. And then they said, "All right, will you come on and be one of the teeny boppers," which is like a group of little girls that tell the main guy jokes, like go around and just tell. It's like a little segment in the show.
Like a recurring thing at that point, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's not like, you know, it wasn't like acting or anything. It's just like little girl, like you're up a lot there.
Yeah.
So then they were like, "Will Kristen perform on the show? Like, will she sing?" And I was like, "Yes, mom. Oh my gosh, like, I'm ready." And she's like, "Kristen, you don't know how to do that. Like, you're five. Like, you." So they're like, "Okay, like, bring her to this vocal coach." So I went to the vocal coach and they go, "Can she, you know, like, Kristen, what songs do you sing?" And I said, "Well, I know Part of Your World by Little Mermaid."
Perfect.
And they're like, "Okay." And so I just start like acting the whole thing out. Supposedly, like, I laid on the ground and like was like acting like a mermaid and whatever.
Like you
and
do.
Amazing.
What? Like, you have to get your daughter in on these auditions. And my mom's like, "No, like, what these parents put these children through is terrible."
All right. I always knew I liked your mom, but now I like her even better. Yeah.
No, great. Like, I was a stage daughter. Like, it was not like.
Right. Yeah. She wasn't pushing you and she got pulled in reluctantly. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then a lot of the girls were going in on auditions, and I had seen The Making of Annie on Broadway on TV.
Sure.
And I loved it. And I was like, "I want to do that. Like, that's what I want to do. I want to be one of those little girls on Broadway." And my mom was like, okay. So there was an audition that came up and it was an open call and all the girls were going on it. And I was like, "Mom, please let me go. Please let me go to this audition." And she didn't want me facing rejection at 5 years old. So she said no. But I like kept begging her. And so she's like, "Okay, you've never been to New York. We'll make a New York trip out of it with all like the kids and so all your friends, and you can audition." So I auditioned and I got the role of Molly in Annie on Broadway at five.
Oh my gosh.
What the heck?
I never knew this. This is amazing.
This is amazing. Meanwhile, I'm still pooping in my diapers at five. This chick's on Broadway singing and I can barely walk. That's amazing, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why you have that strange gait when you walk. You still feel like you're carrying a load, bro.
Get out of here, dude. You're so dumb.
So used to the diaper, that diaper life.
Yeah,
diaper,
it's hard. That's right. It's a weird sense memory, man. That's awesome. So 5 years old on Broadway. My gosh.
That's
so
amazing.
He's pooping in diapers. I'm on Broadway. Yeah. But my brother was like 2 at the time. So my mom's going, how am I going to do this? I mean, she almost turned it down because she just didn't know what to do.
Right.
So anyway, so we get an apartment in the city. My mom would drop me off at rehearsals. She would go and walk my brother around in a stroller in Times Square while I was working.
Gosh,
and like, she couldn't go in. Like, they didn't let the parents go in on anything.
Right.
So my mom was like crapping her pants practically for the opening show because I didn't even read. Like, she would go, like, they would help me with the script when I came home.
Right.
But like,
that's right. At 5, like, it's like they can't give you a script and be like, learn your lines, girl. Right.
And they told my mom and like my family, like, don't even worry about going over it with her. Like, we'll rehearse everything at rehearsal. So like, don't worry about going over lines and stuff. So my mom was like, what am I expecting? Like,
That's so terrifying.
Anyway,
For your,
when I did, what?
For a parent, that's terrifying because you want your kid to succeed, and not having any tools to help them on something that major must have been, I can't even imagine.
Wow. Oh my gosh. So anyway, so it goes well. It goes great. I do it for 6 months on Broadway. And then they went on tour and I went on tour for 6 months. I was supposed to go on tour for a year. Okay. So halfway into the tour, my mom is like a big Young and the Restless fan. You know, growing up, I've watched like soaps, I guess, you know, she had them on and stuff. So I said to my mom, I said, Mom, I'm ready to go home. She's like, great. Thank God. Cause she's traveling with like me and a 2-year-old.
And contractually, that wasn't a big deal. You had an out at 6 months.
So you have to give like a 3 week, give a year 3 weeks.
Sure.
So
at that age, Chris, did you have an understudy at that age?
I think there was a universal understudy, like one girl that kind of did all the
work. Like a swing, a 5-year old swing.
Crazy, man.
God, can you imagine a 5-year old that is like, all right, you're going to be in the show, but you don't get to go on stage, but you got to leave home for a year and
learn every role.
And learn every role. That's crazy town.
Fun fact, I actually later on, but I auditioned for Cosette on Broadway, you know, to play little Cosette when I was younger. And I got the role, but it was for the understudy, but only during the holidays. And my mom was like, nope, she's not missing the holidays to sit backstage. Like, nope.
Totally.
And they were like, she'll never, this was after Annie, but they were like, she'll never work on Broadway again. Like,
oh gosh, that's amazing to say to like a 7-year-old.
Yeah. I know. And my mom, I'm not taking away the holidays from my daughter, like, to not be on stage. Like, it'd be different if she was doing it, but like, you know,
right.
My mom was all about, you know, making sure that I didn't miss out on anything.
Good job, Mom. Good job, Mom.
So I go, Mom, it's like 6 months into tour. I go, I'm ready to go home. And she's like, great. And I go, I'm going to be on a soap opera. And she goes, and I'm 6 at this point. And she goes, okay, like, we'll go home, but you have to be prepared that that's not going to happen. Like, you may never work again in the industry. You don't know.
Right.
And I'm like, no, Mom, like, that's what's going to happen. So I come home. And 2 weeks later, I have an audition for One Life to Live. And they had seen me in Annie on Broadway. They had seen me in the show.
Yeah.
And I got cast as star at 6 years old. And I literally was on the show for 15 years after that. Like, that
unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah.
Was that 15 years kind of straight or?
Straight. Or, completely straight.
Yep. So, but obviously we all know we all know how soaps work where, you know, you would have your heavy story maybe in the summer because you were younger for 3 or 4 months straight. And then, that's crazy to be 15 years straight. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I still went to school. So I was working often, but we would drive up, I would work, I would come home. I still went to school. Like, my mom wanted me to stay in school. She didn't want me to get homeschooled.
So the whole time that you were on One Life to Live, your mailing address was still Philadelphia?
Yes.
So you commuted that whole time. You never,
except I went to a Catholic grade school around, like, local Catholic grade school growing up from 2nd grade to 8th grade in Philly.
Yeah.
And then I was absent so much towards the end of school that no high school would accept me in Philly. They were like, she's never going to be here. We can't accept that.
Right.
So I went to a performing arts high school in New York. I moved to New York.
Did you go to LaGuardia? Where'd you go?
I went to PPAS, which is a professional performing arts high school, but it's like a public school.
Right.
So you audition to get in, and you audition for it, but they do academics until 12 o'clock. And then from like 12:30 to 3 is musical theater or dance or whatever your major.
Your high school major.
My high school major.
Yeah,
so that was in New York. So I went at that point, my mailing address was then New York. I mean, sure. We always kept this house,
right.
But I was in New York during the week, and then we would come home on the weekends to be with family and stuff.
Well, sure.
But
yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. And did you have like a service, like a 212 service number? Like, cause your working years, like, I'm older than you, but your working years, I think, preceded mine, which is crazy to me.
right.
So, before cell phones, you had to have like an answering service. So I'm just imagining like a 7-year-old with like a 212 area code that's like checking her voicemail on a payphone.
She had a big pager, dude.
Yeah,
she
right.
No, I actually have. I have no idea how.
I'm sure
it really
that was goes. Maybe all your parents all did that stuff, but it's just funny.
Yeah, they were in charge of all that. They were, Yeah, I have no idea how that worked.
So
I guess they would. I would get the script when I was there, or they would mail the script to me.
Sure, yeah.
In Philly.
Yeah. So what was it like being in grade school in Philadelphia, and like, how, did the other kids were people like just astounded by what you did? Like, how was it? What was it like? Or was it just totally normal?
So they were and they weren't. I mean, they treated me very normal for the most part. Yeah. Like, no one thought it was like cool. Like, no one was like, whoa, that's awesome. Like, no one gave me special treatment for it. If anything, the girls were kind of more mean to me.
Sure, I
know. But that was like, that's typical.
That's not surprising, unfortunately, right?
I would come back. I would come back and like miss a couple days. And there would be inside jokes that I wouldn't know, but I would laugh along with them. And like the one mean girl in my class was like, why are you laughing, Kristen? You don't know what the joke is. And would like take her lunchbox and like put it up in front of like me, like to block me from the lunch table.
Oh, like, that's lame.
And you're like, screw you. I know McBain.
But yeah. But, like, I had a crush on like the same boy all through grade school that never liked me. Like I had like the typical, I guess, grade school experience.
Sure.
I know. Quit laughing at me. This thing is going crazy.
How'd your stand go, Steve?
No, I don't know. Bradford buys me some cheap shizzle right here. This freaking cheap bastard buys stuff out of Amazon straight from China, and it never freaking works.
Oh, it's the best. I never have a trouble. I don't know.
Apparently, she doesn't need a microphone.
I know. She sounds great, doesn't she?
When we're in Philly, dude, we have to see her.
I know. Are we thinking about doing Philly in May?
I don't know.
Okay.
Great. I don't know what we're doing.
All right, awesome.
But, oh my gosh, I will totally come see you guys in Philly.
That'd be super
cool. Yeah, you and Bradford could sing a song together. That'd be cool.
That'd be fun. Have we? Well, because back when we used to do the Broadway Cares things, yeah, we never did a duet or anything. I mean, we sang in group numbers together, but I don't think we ever.
We didn't do a duet, but we did like the end number with everyone at Super Soak Weekend. Sure. So.
Oh yeah,
that
exactly.
Was so much fun.
I know that. That's
it would be fun, but I get to pick the song. That's the rules.
Yeah.
Those are the rules, Bradford.
Them's the rules when you're traveling with Steve. He makes the rules.
I'll do it. That sounds funny. Yeah. I don't trust you, but
you'll trust me because it'll be an awesome song.
Yeah. So when One Life to Live was winding down, and you guys didn't know it was winding down. There was no sense that it was winding down. Or did you have a sense
there was
that it was
a sense.
Yeah.
There was it was like rumor. So like when I had a choice. I had always said that I was going to leave to go to college.
Yeah.
And then it just wasn't happening. Like it was like, okay, it seems like this might be the last couple years of One Life to Live. Do you want to stay and be there for the end, or do you want to leave and possibly miss out on the end?
Sure.
And I didn't want to miss the end. I mean, there was no guarantee that it was going to end.
Right.
But I was making money and I had a job, so I didn't really like need it at the time.
Right.
And I had visited a lot of friends in college before I went to college, and I just didn't know if that would be for me anyway, because I'm such like a homebody and I mean, I like to party, but
hey-o.
Calm down. She's getting all crazy right there. She just popped a bottle open. Look at that. Look at that.
You're nuts. You're nuts.
I'm like pouring myself like a bottle.
Hold on.
Thing of wine.
5 o'clock in Philly.
Almost. Gosh.
Almost.
Well, if you have the urge.
She's like, what? Look how happy she just got. Almost.
I know.
Oh, my God.
It's a dream. Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I got to go.
Hey, guys, if you haven't tried FabFitFun, I'm telling you right now, you're missing out. But now is a great time to start.
Yeah. If you don't already know about it, it is a seasonal subscription box with full-size beauty, fitness, and lifestyle products. And these are full-size products. These are not like a little sampler where it runs out and you're like, man, I wish I had more of that. No, you get a full-size product. And their winter editor's box that was just out was amazing. And the spring box is about to come out, and we know it's going to be epic. But don't delay, because they sell out fast.
Yeah, so go check out FabFitFun.com. Use the code AWESOME10 because we're awesome and you're awesome. So use the code AWESOME10 so you can save $10 off your first box, making it only $39.99 instead of $49.99, which is cool.
Right, and the value of these boxes is over $200. So $39.99 for a box of stuff that's worth over $200, that's a screaming deal. Screaming!
It is. I know you love deals.
Oh, man. So again, that is FabFitFun.com, and use the code AWESOME10, AWESOME10. You deserve to treat yourself. FabFitFun.com. So when it actually did come to pass, though, what you must have, like, what were your thoughts? Where you're like, okay, well, that part of my life is over, or okay, on to the next, or like, what was that like?
It was like a combination of a lot of feelings. At first, it was, wow, okay, at least we know now.
Right.
Because we had a good 9 months before the show was actually going to end. So, and then all my children only had, I think, like 3 months or 4 months to deal with it. So we were grateful that we would have a little more time.
Sure.
Than we thought. And then it was just, I just remember feeling like my whole life was going to change. I mean, my whole life as I knew it was going to just completely change. And that was a very scary thought.
Right.
Sure.
But I mean, also, like, I had done it for 15 years. So I was always a little worried, like, I would never have left if the show carried on, because I loved it so much and such a part of me. But that always kind of worried me, like, okay, am I going to have experiences that I wouldn't have if One Life to Live didn't exist? You know what I mean? Like, I was just kind of worried for me as a person if I would miss out on things.
Well, because that would be super strange to go from the era that you started at, and like, if you had gone all the way to, like, say 35, and then all of a sudden it ends, like, that formative part of your life is kind of like, what do you expect from your life after that? That's a weird thing, right?
It was so scary. And so our plan was, my mom, it was so funny, right before the news broke, she had booked this big trip for me and for my mom and my brother and I to go to Arizona. And it was like a random trip. She wanted to book someplace random. So she picked Arizona. We were going to go to Scottsdale. We were going to go to the Grand Canyon and whatever.
Yeah.
So then the news broke and she's like, maybe we shouldn't go. And I said, no, we really need to go. It'll be good for us. We'll kind of come up with our next plan. Like, what are we going to do when the show ends, kind of?
Well, there's nothing better for, like, context in your life than to, or perspective in your life than to go to the friggin' Grand Canyon, right?
Yeah, right.
So that was pretty good. Oh, I lost my TV job. It's the friggin' Grand Canyon. Get over it, right?
Exactly, right. So we went and we decided on the trip that we were going to go to Los Angeles, that when the show was going to end in November and in January, we would move to Los Angeles. My dad would stay at our house in Philly because he still works and everything.
Yeah.
And we would go out there and give LA a try. My brother wanted to try it too. So we're like, let's just do it. We don't have to stay out there forever.
Because he was on the show for a bit too, right? I forgot that.
He was on the show for 15 years.
Oh my
God. What?
15? No, 10 years. 10 years.
10 years.
Damn you, rich people.
Not after New York rent and
No kidding.
Yeah.
So when did you come out to LA?
I came out to LA in January 2012, and right before One Life to Live ended, Frank, the executive producer of One Life to Live at the time, came to me and said, "We might ask you to come to General Hospital," which I was so excited about, and I was already planning on living out in LA, so I said that would be perfect.
Genius, yeah.
And then literally the day that we moved into our place in LA, Frank called me and said, "You know, you're in. Come next week for your fitting," and it was just insane.
Wow, that's amazing.
Wow. I was freaking out.
So Star lived for a bit.
Because I've known you guys forever. Like, I don't know if people know that, like, we all knew each other for so long before.
Yeah. Before
we got on the show.
Yeah. I mean,
we do charity event. We had Super Soap weekends. We did a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So for us, you know, I can't speak on for everyone on One Life to Live, but we just always were like, wow, like General Hospital is like the LA show and all the cool people are on it.
that's true. That's actually true.
Yeah, totally true. Right. I mean, if anything, I'm the coolest. Yeah.
And then I came there and I was like, what? Yeah,
I know, right? Like, who are these guys?
I'm going back to New York. Yeah. I don't want these freaks.
Well, that's the thing is, like, on New York, in New York, both on All My Children and like on all the daytime shows, most of the actors were stage people. So they were multi-talented. Did you come on our set and go, "Oh wow, these guys can only do one thing and they do it marginally well"?
No, not at all. I was so
That sounds like a hate. That sounds like a hater over there in a green shirt. Right?
Wow!
Look.
Haters, they're gonna hate.
Please do not show your dad bod to Chris.
No, that was our Stone Cold and the Jekyll.
That was like a booby shave.
I know, but you don't do that, dude.
I was shimmying.
You don't do that.
There goes the man card again.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the man card, and that's the extra talent he has from theater. It's amazing.
That's what I retained.
I can't wait to get that talent.
Yep, I'll teach you. I'll teach you on the road. On the next tour, Steve does a shimmy.
No, there will be no shimmying.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So, Chris, how long? I know you sang on this show, right?
Mm-hmm.
You sang on the show.
Yeah, I got to sing a couple. We did two full musicals that were three episodes each on One Life to Live.
Nice.
And then when I came to GH, they had Star be a singer at a club working, you know, with Johnny and owning the Haunted Star. And so that was like,
that's right.
That is cool. Yeah. Wow. Well, yeah, on One Life, you guys did a lot of musical stuff. You had Mary J. Blige on the show. You had like a lot of, you had Snoop Dogg on the show. You had a lot of people come through, like musical.
Paul Glass, who is now the music director of General Hospital, was our music director, and he's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he's very musical and loves, and Frank is into that too. So we had so many special guests. It's like,
So much fun.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then Star came on to General Hospital, mm-hmm. and then there was that little kerfuffle with ABC
Prospect Park,
and then you ceased to be Star, and then so now for anybody that's weird.
Well, everybody ceased to be a few people.
Well, correct.
Or a few people ceased to be a few people.
But for Chris here, she had been Star since she was 6 years old. I know, like, McBain and Todd Manning and all that, but was that at all weird or, like, to not be Star anymore?
It was so weird. So a part of me was really excited about it because then it kind of felt like a whole new show. It felt like a whole new gig. But I was most excited because they were having me dye my hair brown.
That is awesome.
I always wanted to try that.
There you go.
So that was fun. It wasn't fun to the upkeep of it because it was so expensive every month. And like I had blonde roots come in, so I always looked kind of bald at times. It was like, not cute.
Steve has the same problem. Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
And it was kind of weird when I would leave for the day, I didn't feel like myself, like Star. I mean, Star was still similar enough to me, or at least like I'm such a blonde at heart that like when I left, I would look in the mirror and be like, "You're still Kiki. You're still this other character." It was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're a better actress than I am because they could say, "Hey, your name's Chuck." I'd be like, "Well, I'm going to act the same, whether my name's Chuck or Jason, it doesn't really matter."
But here's the thing. So I came on acting very different and I didn't know what to do. Like, right. I didn't know how to act. I didn't know whether they wanted me to be really different or whether the fans would I didn't want them to reject me because I was being too different.
Did they give you a blueprint for who Kiki was? Or did they just say
they didn't? I think they were unsure of what to do exactly in the beginning as well.
Yeah.
They knew they had a really fun character. Kiki was really fun and different, and she was like kind of crazy when she first started. But they didn't know how the fans would react to it being me portraying her.
Sure. Right.
And they didn't take, some of them didn't take to it too well. Like, I mean, a lot of people were receptive of it, but then some people were just like, she's still star, make her back a star, yeah, make her blonde. You know, they just, right, they wanted something more familiar.
Sure.
So that was kind of like the hardest part, was then kind of being like, how do I be someone that's familiar but still different?
Well, you know what would have helped that? Not going on Twitter.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh.
But you know, the producers and directors, they pay attention to it as sure. well. So they kind of didn't know how to like even direct it. They were kind of, we were all kind of just
confused,
taking it day by day.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of, and then when my contract was up, that was a deciding factor too, was kind of how important is Kiki to the show. I didn't know how important she was to the show without me being star, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And then could someone else play her? I felt like someone else could and do just as well, if not better, because then people would be able to see her be more crazy. Like Kiki was a little, you know, she would take off her shirt, she would like do crazy things, and the fans that have known me since I was six were like,
that doesn't match up. Yeah.
Yeah. Had to kind of like really tame her down. But then once she was like tame, she still wasn't star. So it was just,
yeah, it's tough.
I felt like I wouldn't have been able to leave General Hospital the way that I did Kiki if it was star, because I felt someone else can play Kiki.
Sure.
I don't think I would have felt
star
that way.
Is mine. Star. Right.
Star.
Yeah.
Star is mine. You can't recast Star.
Yeah. Totally.
No.
No, that's not happening. That's not happening.
She's mine.
She's mine. So
no, but not even for me. Like, I just feel like the fan, they would, yeah.
I hear you. I hear you.
It's tough. That's a tough one.
And so once you left, you stayed in LA for a little bit, right?
I did. I stayed for 9 more months.
Yeah.
And then I was always visiting Philly.
Dad was still there?
Dad was still there.
Right.
My mom and brother had moved back. And it was like December. My mom and brother moved back. I moved in with my, you know who at the time.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Boyfriend.
That silly, silly man. Yeah.
and then I left General Hospital in January. And then I sort of like auditioned and everything, but I couldn't, it was kind of difficult for me to figure out my life out there.
Yeah.
First time really you were kind of away from your family though too, like,
yeah,
like away from your family, because
like away away,
I mean my dad would have had an integral part in my career, and I know, you know, that's probably a whole nother podcast of that relationship sometimes with your being a manager and you know, looking out for you but also trying to help you steer you in the right direction when you may not think it's the right direction, and on all those things that go along with that dynamic. But as long as I've known you, you've always been about family and had your family around. So
yeah,
here you are,
on my own
with some crazy guy all on your on your own,
crazy Disney loving guy,
and you're like, get me back to Philly.
I can't hate on him. That was the best part.
get me back to Philly, quick.
No. Oh my God. No. What happened? Like, I think I am such a family person. It helped me having my mom and brother out there, because I'm such a family person, and it felt like a little bit of home, you know, like home was still out there for me. But then once they moved back, you know, they were going to family things. They're video chatting me from my little cousin's birthday. My cousin had a baby, and I'm missing out on these family moments. And then I went home and I went down the shore with my cousin, who had a shore house with all of her friends. Awesome. And it was like,
yeah,
20
baby
kids in a shore house. And I never went to college. So like, I went down there that weekend and was like, what? This is so much fun.
Look at the old guy. He just had, I don't know if he had a seizure or what happened there. He just...
Yeah, I'm like down there with my red solo cup. No, just kidding.
You're like, freedom!
No,
freedom! No. I love freedom.
But it's not. I was 23 years old moving in with my boyfriend. I didn't know whether I was necessarily like ready for that at that point. And I did great with it. We had a great time. We had everything. We played, it was fun. We had a great time.
Sure.
But you can't put that on someone to be everything. Like I feel like there was so much put on him to be everything that he just couldn't give me. Sure. Okay, now be my family. Now be all my friend. Now be all this, like be all that, it's
yeah. That was more of your journey to figure out than his. Yeah. Right.
Totally.
And being a father to a daughter, I would be like, you're moving freaking back. You're living in the house.
Yeah.
For as long as you want. And that's the end of it. Yeah. And I know Bradford's like, oh, the bird has to leave the nest. Let them spread their wings. Bull crap. When your daughter hits 16, bro, she'll be on lockdown and you can shut your mouth.
That's right. No, I'm okay with that.
They were very understanding with me, leaving the nest and everything. And it was just, I think it may have been more successful if my family was out there. If I had family out there, then I would have been able to like, okay, I'm going to go have dinner with them. I'm going to go have my family thing with that. And it just, it wasn't that. Mm. And then also like my job, I was auditioning, but I wasn't getting many auditions. A lot of them were self tapes, which I'm going, I could be doing that in Philly. I could
totally
be doing. And him, we were all like, might as well say Chad at this point, Chad and I, like best friends.
Yeah.
But it's just, you learn a lot about someone when you move in with them. And I think at the end of the day, we were just like, maybe this won't work out as much as we want this to.
Sure.
We were adult in the fact that we were like, okay, he was like, you need to go. And he was so understanding. He was like, you need to go figure out what you want out of your life. And, and that's it. And I was like, okay. So, and we like prayed on it.
And then it was a flash cut to Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
And I was in a short house with my friend.
GTL, baby.
Woo-woo.
GTL. That's right.
No, but there were things that I had missed, that I not missed out on, but there were things that I still had to live through and experience before I was ready to really like settle down with someone.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now
you're doing that.
Now you're
so ready. You guys will love this story. So when I moved, I'm like, you'll love it.
We have no doubts.
You'll love it. Stars mine. Love it. Go ahead.
So I move home, and as soon as I move home, I said, I want a normal job. I've never had a normal job.
I saw you were a realtor.
No, I was a waitress first.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
are you?
Oh, wow.
Too.
That is normal. Yeah. Way to go.
Yeah. It really? Was. Well, this first of all, I don't want to say normal in a way that I'm disrespecting so difficult.
Oh, gosh.
Like, I respect everyone that is a waiter so much. Like,
oh, it was my favorite job that I ever had.
I had the best time.
Yeah.
So I went to this bar, bar called Chickies and Pete's. It's a very popular sports bar in Philadelphia. I don't know if you guys have been, but they have different locations. And my cousin worked there, and I said, okay, like, I want a job. I like lied about my background. I was like, oh, I was a waiter for a year and a half. Like,
in must LA. Have experience. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I like put down my best friend's, number for her to like,
right.
Lied on a resume. What we all do.
Yeah. Sure.
So, I started there. I worked there for a year and a half. It was so much fun.
Year and a half? You started? That's a good run.
So they didn't.
Oh, yeah.
So you weren't fired for not being a good server right away. That's good.
Yeah. No.
You picked it up. You picked it up. Yeah.
I decided to get my real estate license. I was like, okay, like I'm still, auditions were few and far between, but I was really just happy. I babysat my cousin, my cousin's daughter. I would take her to daycare 3 days a week, during the week. So I got to watch her grow up from age like one and a half. I was living a family normal life. Like
you're having a normal life.
Yeah.
And I just, it was amazing. So I did that for a year and a half, and then I'm like, okay, I'm going to get my real estate license and try to make a career out of that. So I got my real estate license. I joined a really popular real estate group. I got my pictures taken with them and everything. And like, I'm like in all the photos, like to this day. And then my brother got really sick, and that's like another story.
Yeah.
But that I just put everything to the side at that point.
Of course.
And was just there for him all the time.
Yeah.
And then once like I was able to kind of do my own, like get back to work.
Yeah.
This producer called me and he said, I want you to come in for this Off Broadway show. He's a huge One Life to Live fan. And I came in and he said, like, we would love to have you.
Wow.
How
cool is that?
That is so cool.
You're back in the game.
Back in the game.
So the Marvelous Wonderettes, correct?
Yeah.
Right. And so how long have you been affiliated with that now?
Okay. So the Marvelous Wonderettes, I started the end of April of last year.
Right.
And it was four shows a week.
Okay. Like a Thursday.
Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday. Two shows Wednesday, one show Thursday, one show Sunday.
Okay. Wow.
So I was still able to live here.
Yeah.
I just would stay at a friend's house on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
And then it's like I'll tell you a little bit about the show. It's called The Marvelous Wonderettes. It's a two-hour show with an intermission in between. It's about four girls, and we are literally on stage the entire time.
Fun.
So, and we're singing 50s and 60s songs.
Yeah.
And then it's also a comedy. So it's, you know, where the 50s is the first act, and then the 60s is the second act, and it kind of shows, you know, we get into different fights or, you know, the drama of that through the songs, and they're all popular songs.
Right.
So the audience, you know,
knows all the songs.
It's like you're pretending as if you were a historical group, and it's like, or is it
takes place at our prom. So it's four girls putting on a show for their prom, and the audience is the prom.
Oh, so, fun.
Yeah.
Is it interactive? Is it like Tony and Tina's Wedding kind of thing?
A little bit. Okay. A little bit.
Okay.
That's kind of like one of the surprises in the show, is that it's more interactive than you think. Like we talk to the audience a lot, or refer to the audience a lot, but then like something happens where it's interactive. So it's cute.
Is that still going on right now?
Okay. So the show ended January 6th.
Like the run ended, they closed.
It closed. The show closed. It ran for almost 3 years. But I only did it from April to January.
Sure.
And so the show was closing. And then I got a call. Well, the producer called me last week and said, hey, would you be up for doing the Marvelous Wonderettes every Sunday? Like just Sunday shows. So I said, yeah. So
that's cool.
This Sunday, well, February 17th will be our first show back.
The Resurrection.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool, man.
What a cool thing. Cause like whatever you're doing the rest of your week, you know, Sunday you get that taste. That's tremendous. How many people are like star during the show? Like anybody yelling appropriate things?
A lot of kikis.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I get a lot of kikis. I get some stars, but, I wear a black wig in the show. So maybe that's why they're more quick to be like kiki.
Interesting.
But when I was first starting the show, it's vocally demanding.
Oh, I bet.
You're on stage. You're physically demanding because we never leave the stage. So it's 2 hours straight of singing and
That is so much fun. So is there, is the show only on Sundays now, or are there other shows?
Only on Sundays now.
Only on Sundays. And so not just Kristen on Sundays, the show is only on Sundays.
The show is only on Sundays. I'll be there every Sunday, unless I'm sick or something like
that. Right. And where in town is it?
It's on 42nd and 9th.
Oh, is
between 9th and 10th.
It's at
Theater Row Theaters.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Has it always been there?
It has. Yeah. It's called the actual theater it's in is the Kirk Theater. It's a very small theater.
Yeah.
But it's better that way. It's like intimate. And it's better for it being an interactive show.
Yeah.
And it's so fun.
Oh, that is so
fun.
I'll
have to, if you're in New York, I'll drag you to it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because Sundays, be cool. Sundays we do day shows. Is it a matinee or is it an evening show?
A matinee.
Okay.
Well, oh, you do day shows?
Normally on Sundays, but we'll figure it out. So and so, so now cool. You got that going.
Sundays
and, and during the week, you're in Philly living life?
Yeah. Well, okay. So that's like kind of what I have. I just signed with a new agent, which
is
great.
Cool.
I didn't have an agent the whole time I did the Wonderettes.
Yeah.
So I kind of, my agent and I ended things when my brother was sick and I was just wanted to concentrate on that.
Yeah.
So, when I did the Marvelous Wonderettes, I was so busy with that. I couldn't even think about auditioning for other things.
Sure.
So now that I do have, you know, I'm only working Sundays, I have time to audition and stuff. So I'll be back and forth to audition.
Does New Jersey Transit have like a loyalty card? Do you get like free rides every fifth ride?
I don't. I wish I did. No. I wouldn't travel up there enough to have a monthly card either. I'm not going every day.
Right.
So it's basically, it was only it was only like four rides a week before. Now it'd only be two, which would be nice.
Right.
Yeah. I listened to you guys though. I listened to your podcast.
Hey, I got to say we're great. We're great for a train ride.
You are great. I was laughing out loud, especially, I mean, cause I know it, like, it's just so great to hear your voices and to hear you guys being goofy. And
thank
so
you.
Great.
Thank oh, that's
great podcast. I was so excited when Bradford asked me to do this because I was like, I listen to you guys.
That's great.
So cool,
great.
Man. It's so awesome to see you, first of all, because I haven't seen you for a long time. And you're always just, you have such great energy and you're such a sweet girl. And it's just always a pleasure to, you know, be able to talk to you.
Well,
thank you. I'm so glad to talk to you guys.
And I'm so glad you're back in the business because I know we're going to be seeing you again somewhere soon. Which is exciting.
Thank you. And I'm really excited about New York. I love New York. I'd love to live in New York again.
Yeah.
So I think long term, ideally, it would be like New York theater, something like that. But I'm still auditioning for TV. I will always love TV. I've put it out there to Frank that I'm anytime he would want me to General Hospital, I'd love to do like a spot on it or something.
Sweet.
So like I'm up for whatever. I always just like whatever is meant to happen will happen.
Is it possible that since you've been back in Philly on a regular basis, the Philly sound has kind of crept back in
a little bit?
Is that possible?
That is possible, sir.
Can you hear it? Yeah.
It is super. It is super charming.
Yeah.
When I visited everyone, and also I think my voice has gotten deeper, or it must have because when I visited the set, I visited General Hospital when I was out there, and I was out there in March. Visit like for the whole month, just visiting and stuff. And everyone at the studio was like, "That's your voice now."
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, good to see you too.
Yeah. I'm on Broadway, so shut your face.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
this was so great to catch up. I think Steve has to go back to work. Party pooper.
But I know.
Thank you so much.
Spending your lunch hour with us, Steve.
Yeah,
no, right, buddy. He doesn't eat anyway. Right. So
yes, I do eat.
Yeah, eat your six hard-boiled eggs and then go back.
I
to
did
work,
this
buddy.
Morning.
Yeah, so. Yeah, you weirdo. Cholesterol is gonna be through the roof. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's a fallacy, sir.
You're a fallacy. All right. Well, Kristen, thank you. Thank you,
Kristen. You're the best.
You're
thank
the best.
You so much.
You
we wish
guys
you all
the
luck.
Anytime you want to talk, I'd be happy to do it again. You guys are awesome.
Baby.
We'd be lucky for that. So thank you. Tweet of the week.
Tweet of the week.
Oh man, Kristen's awesome, dude.
Oh, she's so fun. She should have her own podcast. I'm not going to tell her that, but she could talk so much, and she has great stories, and she has a great personality and a lot of energy. And sometimes that's what it takes to have a podcast.
I know. Well, and you know, what an amazing life she's had. And
right?
I mean, like, and what a cool foundation for a life too. So unique. I mean, obviously Kimberly had a similar start. Like, and you know, that's another someone we need to talk to. But what a unique start to a life like that. And having your childhood be in a way defined by this TV show, which is you know,
100%.
And I will say, I have such an admiration for her family at large, her parents. Because I mean, how many times have you seen someone that has had their that part of their life defined yes. by a TV show and not yeah. been well adjusted and cool like she is?
So, correct.
Well done, Kristen. Well done, all Aldersons.
Well done, parents.
Yeah. So, but anyway, our tweet this week is we had seen a tweet, a previous mean tweet had come out of this same tweet from General Hospital, and it was about our new publicity pictures, and someone said they were airbrushed to get the wrinkles out. That I think we had talked about that one before. This one brings up another conversation.
Okay.
Michelle responds with, "I see you airbrushed the bad plastic surgery out of his face.
Me?
Pity you can't do that on film, hey?
Me?
So here's the thing.
Wait, hold on.
People think you have had plastic surgery. And I will say this. I am up close to Steve's face a lot.
Okay, hold on. You just said people. That sounded like one person.
No, but I've seen it before where they think you've had plastic surgery. And
who would have plastic surgery, dude?
Plenty of people. But can we just put this to bed now? Steve Burton.
Is this a joke?
Steve Burton, have you ever had plastic surgery?
It's April Fool's. This is April 1st.
Let's just put this to bed. I want to put it to bed. I want to have another record.
I didn't know it was a thing. That's why I'm so surprised. I'm like, what? People really? Because, you know, I joke about it at the shows, right?
Right.
I joke it all the time. They'll be like, "Oh, you look so young." I go, "Oh, I've spent so much money on plastic surgery."
Right. So maybe that's how it started. But here's the thing: I think the people that say it aren't people that come to our shows.
Correct. Or right. people who apparently like us.
So can you put this to bed?
I have not had plastic surgery.
Right.
Dude.
And you have a beautiful.
And I have not had a chemical peel.
That's good.
And I've done nothing. And I wash my face with a bar of soap.
It's true. Ivory. Yeah.
And the makeup people here get upset with me.
Yeah.
Because they're like, "Steve, you can't just do nothing."
Yeah.
You got to moisturize. You got to wash your face with some good soap, not Dial, you know? And
Dial
I'm like,
smells
dude,
delicious.
It works. It's working for me. It's fine. Whatever, dude. I don't have time to mess around with that stuff. I know you have your 4-step process.
It's where
you
great, put your little- dude. Dude, I. Right. Well, so here's the thing. When my facial bones don't create the facial structure that you have, I got to make sure.
Plastic surgery.
Well, I got to make sure my skin stays, stays taut. So I use moisturizers, because if my skin starts to hang off my face, I'm going to look like Droopy Dog. What was the guy's Droopy the Dog?
Droopy Dog. Yeah, Droopy.
Droopy, yeah. yeah.
That's
yeah.
when you get plastic surgery, dude.
I know, but then once you have the jowls, then it's too late.
Yeah. So. I mean, my wife actually bought me kind of this soap and then the moisturizer. So yeah. it's a two-step pretty. She said, "Can you just try this?
Just do something, please.
Just try.
Honey, do try. Something. Maybe for Valentine's Day, you're going to go home and have another beautiful spread of products.
Another baby? I mean, yeah, right, products.
That's not going to be good for your wrinkles, bro.
No, that's causing wrinkles, my friend.
Oh, man, no sleep and wrinkles, yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Not a good combination.
Nope.
But, yeah, no plastic surgery.
No plastic surgery. So that is done. Spread that far and wide, people. The beauty of Steve Burton is au naturel.
Maybe too much sun.
Well, I see, and that's the thing. As I say, I've been close to his face. I see the life lived in his smile.
That's not a compliment, dude.
But here's the thing. Also, I think this has saved you. Since you don't have strong facial reactions on the show, since you have that one look, you don't get many wrinkles because your face doesn't move.
That's true.
So who needs face? Who needs plastic surgery when you have no expression? So there you go.
Or if you, it's kind of the same, because if you get plastic surgery, you have one expression.
Right, you either start there or finish there. It's one or the other. Yeah.
Hey, I'm on my way.
Awesome.
That's amazing, dude.
All right, so we have a question, and it's from Caroline, and this one.
The Carolina?
Yeah. I think we've answered a question from her before, but I saw this one, and it was interesting to me. So you know, it's not a funny question, but I think it's a thoughtful question. And I like it. In a world seemingly controlled by social media, How do you handle personal interactions? Do you even have private accounts? I mean, for most of us, that is the primary focus, likes, dislikes. But anyway, as far as your personal brands go, how closely do you filter what you post on your public pages? So are you limited in being, like, neither of us seem overtly political, but I'm sure we have opinions. Do you restrain yourself from sharing or commenting on posts? Basically, in the social media age, how much are we, like, filtering who we are by who, well, you know? So, and that, I thought that was kind of interesting, you know?
No, I think it's a great topic because I think there's a lot of facets to that question of, because everyone puts on social media what they want their brand to be.
Sure.
Right.
Well, and that goes to, you know, to people that aren't public figures either. Right. When you're putting something on Facebook, you're thinking about how your friends, how your family, how the people that you want to impress are going to take your post. You're creating a personal brand for yourself, even if it's not a brand that you're trying to get a job on, you know?
Sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you and I, we really don't post political things.
No.
I just don't think there's any reason for it. There's enough negativity and enough people not getting along.
Yeah.
And you know, I try to stay positive. I think our show is an escape. I think our podcast is an escape for people.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's plenty of people out there who may want to be negative or hurtful, and it's easy to find them.
Oh, sure.
So, you know, for me, do I think about it a lot? I don't really think about it that much, you know, of, oh, should I post this or not? Usually I'm like, oh, this would be cool to post, or
yeah,
I don't know, maybe not, or, you know. It's so funny, the social media thing, because it's like, should we be more active? Probably, you know,
it's hard to say.
Is it a business? Is it not a business? It's like, I know I could probably be more active, but I don't necessarily want to be.
Sure.
And then there's days, to be honest, I just want to get off social media.
Yeah.
Altogether. There's days where I'm just like, I'm just done for now. You know, I haven't posted like for 5 days right now, and I'm like, I haven't had to think about it or look at comments or it's like, to take a break is great, but
it's interesting because there have been times when something in the world has happened or something that affects me greatly where I have an urge to say something, and it feels like in the moment it feels like I need to share this, but ultimately,
agreed. I agree with you.
But ultimately, like, the way it's going to be received is not in a way that's going to start a conversation necessarily. And
correct.
And then, you know, the people that I do are connected to on on social media are generally people that do look to me and you, look to actors as people that are providing entertainment, you know, and. You know, there's sometimes I remember before the election, I posted a little video just talking about, like, you know, talking about something because I thought I had something to say, and it was received very nicely, but you know, that's rare, and I don't see myself doing that much, just because, you know, especially now that we're doing what we're doing, it is about entertainment and positivity, and that's what I want to focus on. And, you know, to answer your question, Carol, I do have a private Facebook that I like to share basically so just like my family can see pictures of my kids. Right. That's
right.
Basically what it is. I do keep them separate. I don't do a lot of posting on either. You know, I try to keep everybody updated on what, you know, you and I are doing in the podcast and stuff. But it's an interesting thing, though, because
it is interesting. I mean, I think there comes a point where, you know, you and I see things differently in some areas in our lives. And we always talk about that. We do have great conversations about it and insightful ones. And, you know, we get to you get to understand maybe a different point of view, and I understand a different point of view.
Yeah.
And that's really, I know we said this before, that's really what it should be about.
Right.
But posting something on Twitter doesn't make it about that.
Well, because also there is no, you know, the responses that you get, you're not looking into someone's eyes and feeling what they're feeling.
Exactly. We're not sitting around a hotel lobby like we'll do, be having a glass of wine and sit there and talk for 2 hours and be like, yeah, I get that. And you're like, yeah, I get that. I understand. You know, and it's like, okay, cool. Yeah. And, it, you know, that's what it needs to be at some point. I don't know if we'll ever get that way, but I just don't think social media is that platform at all.
Yeah.
If Congress can't do it in person, you ain't doing it. You ain't doing it on Twitter, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, so for me, I don't have a private Facebook page. I don't have any private accounts at all.
Yeah.
I kind of missed out on that run.
Sure.
Because Facebook came and I used it mainly for fans and for the show.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I kind of lost. Not that I can't do it now, but it's like, you know, it was cool trying to look up people you went to eighth grade with.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, where's this cat? I got to try to find him. So I haven't even done that. I don't have a private page. I'm sure people have tried to message me.
Well, because when social media came up, it was right before I started on the show, like MySpace and Friendster were things that I was on before Facebook.
Yeah.
It was to get and keep in touch with old college friends. So then when Facebook came out, I created a Facebook for that. And then when I got on the show, I privatized that one that all my college friends are on and everything like that and started a new one to reach people that watch our show. So, but it is a weird thing because, you know, we are public people in a sense. And so, you know, that public, the way I act when I'm on the podcast or when we're on the show is slightly different than how I talk to my wife and my kids, right? And so that's always an interesting thing for me, making sure that being present and being honest and being, you know, that's something that sometimes I have to really work on just focus on because it is very easy for me to put on what I want people to see.
Sure.
I'll kind of go off what
you said about putting on. You're putting it on, but it's not phony.
No.
So,
no.
In a way, because what people don't, you know, it's like when we go do our shows on the road, it's like, hey, it's showtime.
Yeah.
Right? You got to go. Let's go.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of, it's almost like a hyper version, the best hyper version of ourselves on the podcast, right?
Totally.
We're like, hey, we're here. Let's freaking do it, man. We're energized. We're having fun, right? So, it's like that's an interesting question, and I'm sure we could talk a lot about that. But I don't know, man. It's you watch guys like The Rock on social media, who's the master of the master, and he's just the greatest. And he I don't even know how he does it. He's a freaking rock star.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel like I don't do anything.
I know, right? I know. You watch people like that, and you're like, man, I am failing.
I am just like, what?
I'm a lazy SOB.
Know, I don't know, man.
Yeah. So
it's all good.
Well, anyway, thank you for the question. Thank you for getting us thinking about real important things. Cool. It's always nice to mix in some reality with some hijinks. But
that's right.
Thank you again to Kristen for joining us from afar. I got to say, I do love this new technology where we can talk to anybody anywhere. That's so cool. Someone in Atlanta last week, someone in Philadelphia this week. It's awesome.
As long as it's recorded, we're happy.
I know, right?
Is it three strikes, you're out? Or what do we do?
Shut your face.
Three strikes and it's I can't. Stone Cold podcast.
Yeah, I'd like to see you manage all the technical. Go for it.
Listen, the podcast would be over tomorrow. If it weren't for you, it would be done tomorrow. Bye. That's it. All right, man.
Thanks, everybody.
We appreciate you guys. Go to stonecoldthejackal.com. We do have shows coming up, and I just got some information about these shows.
Oh, my goodness.
And I can tell you right now, because we're going to San Fran, Sacramento, Grand Rapids, Columbus, Rosemont, which is near
Chicago,
O'Hare, Kansas City,
right,
St. Louis dinner,
right, and then Denver.
Denver. So the dinner's more than halfway sold out. And then we're selling a lot of tickets right now.
That's great. Thank you, everybody. We're so excited to come out and see you.
That being said, don't wait.
That's true.
I know a lot of people have waited.
Right.
Like we had that when we did that run in Florida, people waited to get VIP tickets, and those were always gone first.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're like, can you add more? We're like, I can't, because the clubs don't add more. They just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, we'll be out there. We'll be out to see you in April.
In April.
And we're working on May right now.
Right around the corner. So, StoneColdTheJackal.com for everything us. And, this was awesome. You guys are awesome. That's awesome.
Thanks, guys.
So if you like our show, you're going to love the Jordan Harbinger Show on Podcast One.
Yes, you will. Join the host of one of the most downloaded new podcasts of 2018 as he dissects the game plans. And this is what I love about it. The most successful people on the planet in order to help you be the best that you can be.
Check out the Jordan Harbinger Show every week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.